And this preaching series that we're doing is one where we are learning about what it means for us to be the church, for us to be a Christian community together. Our tagline is becoming a church for the neighborhood. Because who we believe we are and who Christ says we are as his church, as his community, affects how we treat each other. It affects how we interact with the neighborhood, the community around us. And it really helps us understand what it is we're meant to be doing here on earth. Just a quick recap. Our first week, we talked about the church as a peculiar community, that we are peculiarly different from the rest of the society around us because we align ourselves with Christ, our cornerstone, instead of with our culture. And we are peculiar because we're peculiarly diverse, that we all come from different backgrounds and different histories, and we all have different pasts, but we're all united in Christ. Pastor Gordon, who we saw in the video, was here our second week and talked about the church as a missionary community, that Christ has chosen to use us, his people, to be about his mission here in the areas he's placed us. So whether that's here in Montague or whether you live in Heatherdale or Lower Montague or wherever, God has placed us there to be on mission for him. We talked about the church as a reconciling community, that because we've been reconciled to God through Christ, we ought to reconcile with one another. That ought to be a mark of who we are as the church. We talked about the church as an invested community, that even though we look forward to a day where we are with Christ for eternity, we are invested where we are right now. That life here and now in our community matters to us. And then last week we talked about the church as a gathering community. Now, this week we're talking about the church as a scattering community. Last week was gathering, this week is scattering. And these both these messages are meant to kind of balance one another out. This will make sense really in light of last week's message where we talked about a gathering community. So if you weren't here, I'm just going to quickly recap. As a gathering community, this is a church, we're making a point to say we don't do Christianity on our own. That our spiritual life is not about us being spiritually independent, not in need of anyone else. That's not a mark of Christian maturity, but Christian maturity comes by growing in grace in a church family. We talked about the word ecclesia, if you remember, which is the Greek word often translated as the church in the New Testament, that it literally is those who are called out by Christ, that he gathers his people to himself, and therefore we gather in his name. We talked about our need of community, that we need to be able to learn together because we learn best in community. We need to have one another to pray and to uphold one another. We need one another to be encouraged in faith, that when you're doing well, you can encourage me in my walk. And we need to be able to worship with each other, that we're all part of the body of Christ. And when we gather, there's something beautiful that happens when we're worshiping our God together. Now, I wanted to make sure last week that we got all that and that was important. But my intention was not to send us down a path of thinking that we're only the church when we gather for worship on Sunday morning. We're a gathering community, but when we gather on Sunday morning, that's not all it is. That's why this week we are talking about the church as a scattering community. That we gather as the body of Christ and we also scatter to do the ministry that he's called us to do. All that being said, here's what I'm mostly trying to get across this morning. When we leave this building, when service is over, when we wake up Monday morning, we're still the church and we're still on mission. We're still called to minister wherever it is that we scatter to. There's a long-running joke that pastors really only work on Sundays, You've probably thrown it around a couple times. I whip it out every once in a while to try to be funny sometimes. And I was at the dentist this week, and you know, they're asking me, what is it that you do as a pastor? And so I was talking about it, and most of what people often see is Sunday morning. Now, I want to kind of take that and flip it on its head and ask, as Christians, do we just work on Sunday? As Christians, are we only Christians on Sunday? No. We are called to be Christians in our whole lives. This morning, as we talk about the church as a scattering community, we're talking about the other 6/7 of the week. The other 6 days where we're not together on Sunday morning and what it is that we're called to do, the ministry that we're called to be a part of. So I have kind of two main points this morning, if you're taking notes. One, we'll spend a lot of time in, and that will naturally lead to the second. We want to get across that ministry, first of all, is not just the work of pastors. Ministry is not just the work of pastors. And secondly, ministry is not just Sunday morning activities. So ministry is not just the work of pastors, and ministry is not just Sunday morning activities. If you've got a Bible with you, we're going to be in the book of Ephesians as we take a closer look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, if you're using one of the Pew Bibles, it's on page 977. And we're going to read Ephesians 4, verses 4 to 15. It's up on the screen as well if you want to follow along. This is Paul writing to the church at Ephesus. He says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men." In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended to the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the mature, to the stature, sorry, of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by the wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes." Now, that is a long, rich, full passage, and we're not going to spend our time working through all of that, but there are two verses within that we're going to be camping out in primarily today. I wanted to read this whole passage just to give us a bit of context of these two verses, but we're going to be mostly looking at verses 11 and 12 in the passage that we were reading. Let me read it to you here. "And he, God, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ." What's the first thing we notice when we look at this couple verses here? Well, we see that God has given the church, looks like, certain people. We see the apostles, we see prophets, evangelists, shepherds, or pastors, and teachers. This group here. And you may be asking, who are these apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers? Well, it depends who you talk to, but often we see that the apostles are those who were commissioned by Christ to lead his church early on, those who were with Christ through his ministry. And some would argue today, depending on who you talk to, that those who do the work of missionaries, those who are on the front lines of church planting in areas where the church is not built up, that those fill the office of apostle. We see prophets throughout Scripture are those who God has spoken his words through to his people, who he has used to call them to get back in line, whom he has communicated through. And we see that there are those in the New Testament who have been given gifts of prophecy to speak from God to his people. But also, some would argue that we speak the words of God on behalf of God when we proclaim God's word found in Scripture. We see evangelists as those who are particularly gifted in sharing their faith. Have you ever been around someone who's a Christian who it's just like second nature for them to share their faith? They're just really good at it. And you're like, wow, like how can they do that? And it's so hard for me. There are some people who are particularly gifted in preaching the gospel in a way that people grasp onto it. We see shepherds as those who compassionately lead and pastor the flock of God, those who are directing and leading the church. Teachers, those who communicate the words and truth of God. Many commentators in looking at this passage, they will lump together shepherds and teachers because grammatically in the Greek, it looks like maybe these are two aspects of one role. And so many say that the shepherd teacher is kind of the modern pastor that we see today, kind of the role that I fill. So we see these apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, these people who it looks like they're the ones who are leading the church or equipping the church or doing the ministry, people that look like they are particularly gifted for this. And it looks like they've got a big job to do, right? We look at this passage and we see, look, they're supposed to equip the church for the work of ministry. They're supposed to be building up the body. They're supposed to be developing unity. They're supposed to be helping people reach maturity in Christ. And you might be thinking, well, it looks like this group of people, looks like these gifted individuals kind of have all the bases covered. Like, thank goodness for the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Looks like they've got bases covered, that they're doing what needs to be done. In some of my kind of practical ministry classes in Bible college, there's something they taught us called the 80-20 principle, where they say that in the average church, it's 20% of the people that do 80% of the ministry work. And then the other 80%, you know, fill in the next 20. That 20% of the people do 80% of the ministry. And we can almost see that here. It looks like that the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers, looks like they're doing 80% of the work here. Is that true? Is that really what's going on? Is that really a healthy system for the church to be living in? So why does this happen? Why is it that we see in the church that 20% are doing 80% of the work? Why is it that 80% are only doing 20%? Why is there this natural dependence on the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers to kind of take care of things as we sit back and if we don't identify in that group, sit back and let them do it? Well, some of it might be kind of some residue left over from maybe Catholicism, where, you know, the priest is the only one who can really be our the one who stands before God for us, the one who handles the elements. The church can be the only one who is able to interpret the Bible. That there has to be someone who is ordained in order for us to be able to experience God in the way that we're supposed to. But as Protestants, that's really not our theology. That's not how we organize ourselves. We believe that all believers are priests. Remember we read during the week, we talked about a peculiar community, that we are a nation of priests. That we can all, because of Christ, come before God. That we don't need one person other than Christ to stand between us and God. especially as Baptists. That's something that is kind of part of the DNA of who we are, that we believe that we're all to be involved in that work. So why do we find this 80-20 principle? Why do we depend so much on the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers? Maybe it's laziness and apathy in some cases. Maybe it's just something that we've developed in our church culture over time, something we've gotten used to. One particular reason that it may be so might come from certain interpretations of this passage that we just read, Ephesians 4:11-12. And one very small detail can make a huge difference in how we see this. I'm going to look at this verse 12 again, but we're going to look at it from a few different Bible translations. I'll have it up on the screen for you. We're going to look at the King James, the ESV, which we're using, the NIV, which is one of the most popular modern translations, and one called the Holman Christian Standard Bible, just to compare some Bible translations. So the King James says, this is following, you know, God sent the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. The King James says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body, and it continues. The ESV says, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The NIV, to equip his people for the work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. The Holman Christian Standard, for the training of the saints, for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Now, each of these translations, there's slightly, you know, different things in the wording, but the ESV, NIV, and Holman, they're communicating something slightly different than the King James. Do you notice a little detail? Look even smaller than you're thinking. There's a comma. Just a comma in there. In the King James Version, and in other translations as well, that changes what the passage might mean. Now, there's no punctuation in the original Greek. They're not translating commas and parentheses and quotation marks when they translate the Bible from Greek into English. And so that's kind of left up to interpretation of the translator. But having that one little comma in there, for the perfecting of the saints, comma, for the work of ministry, changes it from pastors being responsible for equipping the church for ministry to pastors are responsible for equipping the church and they're responsible for the work of ministry. Do you see the difference? Just that slight distinction. Are they equipping the church for ministry? Or are they equipping the church and doing work of ministry? Many honest Christians have been subtly shaped by this idea, depending on maybe what Bible translation you grew up reading, based on the church structure that you've been in. And if you believe that what the Bible says points you to the pastor's job is to do everything, the pastor's job is to do all the work of ministry, then you're going to sit back and expect the pastor to do all the work of ministry. If you believe that only people with certain gifts, offices, jobs, certain roles of leadership, only the apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers can do the work of the church, and if you don't think you fit in those categories, then you are just going to sit as a beneficiary of that work. See, often, and unfortunately, what has happened, especially in North America, is our church has been shaped by a consumer mindset. We're in a consumer culture anyway. We're used to going to stores and restaurants and seeing advertising where everything's catered to us, right? Everything's meant to draw us. We go into a store and we have people waiting on us. We go into a restaurant and we have a waiter or a waitress who's there to serve us and all that. And not that that is bad, but sometimes we take that consumer mindset we have, and we translate that into the church. Sometimes our perspective of the church falls into another event that I can be entertained by, or another service that I can receive. I had some family visiting from away one time, and I don't think that they are in a relationship with Christ. And so they came with us to a service at our Cornwall site a couple years ago. And I was really excited for them to be there. I think I was helping with music or something like that. And I was really excited about what the pastor was preaching that Sunday, and really hoping that it would grab hold of their hearts. And so after the service, I asked them, you know, how was it? What did you think? You know, what did you, what really spoke to you? And they said, it was some great entertainment. And there was just, it was just like a punch to my gut when I heard that. Like, I was hoping through the whole service that it would be something that would spark in their heart, that through the preaching it would be something that would ignite them to Christ. But instead, it was some great entertainment. It was enjoyable. When we gather, we're not here to entertain. I hope our services are enjoyable, but this isn't just another event to enjoy. And it's not just the consumer's fault. As pastors, we often play into this consumer mindset. Sometimes, because of ego and pride, we like being the one who just does everything. We like to feed into this. We like to either be the apostle, prophet, evangelist, shepherd, and teacher, and just let the consumer mindset be taken over, that we like to do all the work of the ministry. So instead of, like this scripture says, equip you to wrestle through and handle scripture, we'll just give you the answer. Or instead of encouraging you to use your gifts in areas of ministry, I'll just do it myself. Which just feeds in more and more into this consumeristic way of doing church. Listen, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I have contributed to that. I'm sorry if how I pastor is more about feeding into this consumeristic, feeding my ego by doing it all kind of mindset. I don't want that to be what we're about. I want us to be about the people of God doing the work of God. And I want to take steps for us towards that, that we might be a church, that it's not just the leadership that does the work of ministry, but that we are equipping the saints, we are equipping the church for the work of ministry. I just want to read what I really think these verses are communicating. I'm taking this from a commentary. Those church leaders with the various gifts that we see in verse 11 are to equip the saints, meaning equip all Christians so that those Christians can do the work of the ministry. All Christians have spiritual gifts that should be used in ministering to one another, and I would add also to reach out in the community to others with the message of the love of Christ. If you're a Christian, then you've been given gifts by the Holy Spirit for the sake of ministry. For the sake of ministry to one another, for the sake of God's mission here on earth. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians 12. This is verses 7 and 11. I have it up on the screen. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. All these are empowered by the one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Peter, in his first letter, writes something similar, 1 Peter 4. He says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. Whoever speaks, who's been gifted to speak, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, if that is your gift, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Some of you have gifts of wisdom, where you are just able to understand and work through things in a biblical way. I would encourage you, maybe if that's your gift, then you can take initiative by helping others and, I don't know, like leading a Bible study or helping those who just need some good godly counsel how to work through difficult problems. For those who are dealing with tough stuff, to help them understand it in a godly way. Some of you are gifted with some incredibly contagious faith. Like last week when we talked about, sometimes I need your faith to help encourage mine. Some of you are gifted that way. And some of you, you need to find those opportunities where you can encourage other people's faith, where you can encourage others and speak into someone's life. Maybe if that's you and that's your gift, it would be more beneficial for you to go and to pray for someone than I would, that your words and prayer might be able to encourage someone more than I could. Some of you are incredible when it comes to hospitality. And maybe God intends for your home to be a place where people encounter his presence through you. And that your neighbors and your friends or coworkers are going to encounter God by coming in and experiencing your generosity and hospitality. Maybe some of you have some more prophetic or charismatic gifts like tongues or interpretation or prophecy or words of knowledge, and you're really struggling with, how do I use that? How is that helpful in a church context? Let me encourage you, if that is something that God has gifted you with, I'm confident that he is going to give you opportunities in the right way to use that. That there are people that you will be able to speak into their life, or you will be able to speak on God's behalf to them because of your giftings. There are likely some of you here this morning where you feel like, I don't really know if I have a spiritual gift. I don't really know if the Holy Spirit's gifted me in a specific way for his work and mission. Let me encourage you, if you are a genuine follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has gifted you in some way. And I would encourage you to spend some time in prayer seeking God in that, that he might show you how he intends to use you that way. I would encourage you to spend some time with some brothers and sisters in Christ and talking about these kind of things. And I am willing to bet that there is someone where it is likely their gift to be able to identify that in you and to show that to you. Someone who is able to encourage you and speak into your life in that way, to be able to reveal how God has gifted you in a way that you may not even be able to see of yourself. When we make a shift in our understanding to see ministry as all the people of God equipped by God for all the ministry, that will naturally lead us to seeing that this isn't just a Sunday morning thing. Some of the ways that we do church naturally highlight certain giftings, right? Normally, there's someone who is teaching or someone who is leading or praying or displaying some of those kind of gifts. And sometimes that leads us to feel like, if I don't have those kind of gifts, then how am I gifted for the ministry that God has called his church to? Not all the gifts are displayed on Sunday morning. And God is going to use your gifts whether that's on Sunday morning or throughout the week in the kind of ministry that he has called you to as his people. When we begin to see all of us as having a part to play in the ministry, in the mission of God, in how he's gifted us, we begin to see Sunday morning in less of a consumeristic entertainment hour and more of a time, like we were talking about last week, where we can come to be equipped. A time where we can come to be encouraged. A time where we can be filled up. A time where we can worship together. And realize that most of the ministry of the church begins after we leave. Do you charge your phone at night? My phone is a couple years old, and it's at the point where the battery life is like slightly too short for a full day's worth. And so I'm kind of charging it before I go to bed, and it's charged up in the morning. And it's actually quite quick at charging. But how good my phone is at charging, or how quick it charges, isn't really the main feature of the phone. I don't use the phone for the purpose of it charging. The main thing that I use my phone for is calling and texting and communicating with people when it's not charging. What if on Sunday morning when we gather, when we're worshiping, when we're being equipped and gathering together, that's like us being charged so that we can actually be more useful during the week in the ministry that God has called us to? What if the main purpose isn't just this hour and 15 minutes on Sunday morning, but the rest of the hours throughout the week that God has been equipping us and gifting us and building relationships through us for? We've had this slide this morning that we gather to be equipped, and we scatter to go and do that ministry. We gather to be equipped, whether on Sunday morning or a Bible study or in a small group, or when we gather to learn and be equipped and to grow and be encouraged. And then we scatter to be able to go and to live that out, to show that to others. And when we scatter, I'm not saying like we're scattering out of disunity or out of disagreement, but Paul's very clear in Ephesians that we do what we do because we're unified. Because we're unified in Christ, in one Lord, one baptism, one Spirit. That out of our unity, we scatter to do the work of the one who unifies us. For the sake of his mission, to our circles of influence, to our neighbors, to our families, to our coworkers, to even one another. We don't stay stuck in our gatherings, as encouraging as they can be. I love doing Sunday mornings with you guys. But we don't stay there. That's not the extent of our Christianity. We go out and we use the tools and gifts that God has given us for the sake of his glory and for the sake of the world being reconciled back to him. Just like Christ, who didn't stay in his eternal, perfect gathering. But he went out. He came and lived among us. He followed the leading of the Spirit. He is obedient to the will of the Father for the glory of God and for the sake of the world being reconciled back to him. Because of Christ, we do that too. That's what we're called to do. That's what we're gifted to do. That is how we build community and long to see those around us come to know the life and joy that Christ gives. Let's pray. God, I thank you that it's not just some of us who get to be about what you're about, but that you've called all of us to reflect Christ, to be about your mission, to live the gospel that we believe and have been shaped by. God, I thank you that I don't have the same gifts as everyone else. And not everyone else has the same gifts as me. I thank you that in this church body, we have a variety of giftings by your Spirit for the sake of your ministry. And God, I pray that you would use us as your people where you have placed us according to how you've gifted us, so that we can be encouraged by one another and so that people can see your gospel lived out through us. Lord, protect us from this consumeristic mindset we can have. Protect us from seeing church as just an event to be entertained by. But Lord, I pray that you would use our times gathered to equip us for when we're scattered. Lord, as we continue in worship this morning, help us to see your gospel take root in our hearts. Lord, show us a clear picture of who you are and what you desire for us. And Lord, may we worship you wholeheartedly because of who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, show us our dependence on you as your people, that you might be glorified through us. In Christ's name.